We recorded this episode with the Ukrainian Leadership Academy, organized as a part of the Peace Support Ukraine project with the support of UN, Pontepar and Patrir.
It is disgusting to say this, because I live my full life. War did not make us pitiful, but indeed increased a lot of courage in youth.
If life gives you lemon, there's a lemonade. To change the perception of the Ukraine, like from the problem country, into the country of opportunities.
War did not make us pitiful, but indeed increased a lot of courage in youth.
Oh my God. Вітаю, друзі! Ви на подкасті Gap Year. І сьогодні у нас незвичний епізод, тим незвичний, що він вперше буде не українською мовою. І це такий маленький дисклеймер. Але ми закликаємо вас поширювати цей епізод серед ваших друзів-іноземців, аби вони краще і глибше розуміли, як живе українська молодь, з якими проблемами вона стикається. Це українське інтро. Hello everyone, you are listening to Gap Year podcast, Ukrainian podcast about young people and problems they are facing with. My name is Olya, I am a host and author of this podcast, and let me introduce our guest and my favorite and the best co-host, Ulyana.
Wow, thank you so much. Hi.
Hello, it is also your first English podcast.
I took English course just to be able to speak.
Special for this.
Yeah, special for this episode. And spoiler for a few more even. So just I hope you will get used to my voice in English and it's not terrible.
I'm already.
Yours is very, very confident and sophisticated. Okay. What you would like it to be.
The world.
It is great. So we have this great purpose and we will face this difficulty with speaking English. It is not our first language and not even second language. And this episode will be very interesting because we will be talking about what unites us and us as Ukrainian youth and European youth. So we are here are not just by ourselves. We have a special guest. Can you introduce?
Yes, and I also would like to mention that we are doing this podcast with our partners and with our friends, Ukrainian Leadership Academy. So if you are interested in this program, you can read more in the description of episode. And by the way, today's other guest is Yuri Manilov, project manager of Ukrainian Leadership Academy. Hello.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
Yeah. So guys, my first and like general question, why is so important to describe and to tell European young people what is going on in Ukraine and especially among Ukrainian young people?
Well, I think that the amount of attention that Ukraine has right now from the society of the whole world is unprecedented. And this amount of attention is also the result of hard work of a lot of people who are doing that, who are speaking about Ukraine, who are telling our messages to the world and spreading this information. And we need to keep this pace even after the war will end. And basically, I would say that before the war, Ukraine was maybe some kind of, gray spot on the map. Nobody knew at least, some facts about Ukraine except some, Vereniki and et cetera.
Or are you from Russia?
Yeah, Ukraine is somewhere near Russia. Yeah. So it's obviously that this is not normal. And that's why probably since the independence of Ukraine, we had missed more than 20 years of this advocacy, campaigning and speaking and telling about Ukraine. And that's why right now with this attention, because attention basically is a really great resource that we can accumulate and use this opportunity to tell as much as we can about Ukraine and to show our depth and to show that we are not like only a part of Soviet Union. We are really authentic and individual country with a great history, culture and people.
Okay, well, Ulyana, what is your point of view?
I believe so, yeah. I agree totally. And I would like to add that I like the thought that it is should be our initiative to do this, because it was a mistake that we left society of the world arena without our agenda, and nobody knew about us. And now with grief I say it, but we have a lot of attention because of the war, and it is thankfully to that. And it is disgusting to say this, but we need to use this opportunity and to take responsibility for the messages that we want to spread. So a huge role plays our youth, because we have a very proactive youth. Of course, we are speaking about Ukraine Leadership Academy, and all of the our usual listeners, they are actually proactive youth. So they are part of NGOs and volunteer initiatives. So we try to spotlight this youth and to show that we have huge ideas, and they have the potential to change not only Ukraine, but the world. So I say this and I have, you can see my goosebumps. I just very inspired with this thought, and I would like to talk about this more.
So how do you think if war hadn't happened, we wouldn't have been so famous and paid a lot of attention?
Maybe not so fast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have lots of things beyond war, and especially young people. So how can we show this?
It was hard, you know, to get the spotlight, because we can like be shouting and nobody would listening. But now, because it is so risky business, I don't know how to put it correctly, but people would like to listen, because it is something that maybe even threatens their lives in some way, because they know that the war is close. It is actually close geographically. And that's why there is an urge to check some information, to listen to somebody that knows some things. That's what I mean, that it is faster. I think we got the potential to be famous on the world arena, but war just made it faster.
If life gives you lemon, do the lemonade. Like, basically, I would say that before the war, we were doing like a great evolution of, I don't know, our self-conscious and the spreading of our culture abroad. But the war caused maybe a revolution of this spread. And indeed, like, this amount of attention is like the thing out of which we can do this lemonade, like from the lemon of war. And to take advantage out of that, to change the perception of the Ukraine, like from the problem country into the country of opportunities.
Yeah.
But still we have a lot of issues with that. Like, basically, I would tell one story. Once I was like on one round table, something about like the rebuilding of Ukraine after war, and we had the group work, and on our table there was like one representative of one NGO, I don't remember exactly, and one ambassador of European country. And basically, like, this representative was telling how Ukraine is corrupt and how it is, everything is bad. And like, I was just listening to that, and I understood that maybe probably the ambassador of European country shouldn't hear that on that table, because like with these words he causes like a lot of damage, because there are indeed problems with corruption, but I believe that we can deal with them by ourselves. And when we just talk about that out loud to officials, etc., we just still continue this perception of Ukraine as a problem country.
So we
must, I don't know, rethink how do we tell about ourselves out loud to the outside world.
Definitely.
But we still have problems, and we should.
Indeed. But the attention is on Ukraine. We have the chance to change the perception of Ukraine.
Okay, so tell only good things.
Like, not only good things, but I would say that think that probably are a reason of some misconceptions about Ukraine. We should like not to speak about them as loud as we used to, because we can deal it with ourselves, by ourselves. But it's my opinion that we can deal with corruption in our country by ourselves. And the perception of Ukraine as a corrupt country is causes damage to our country.
Yeah, I
totally agree, because besides like contemporary situation in Ukraine, we have like all this historical and impact of Russian propaganda. So, and for this reason, even how they perceive us, like we are Russian, so we are part of the Soviet Union, and we don't have our dignity and the state. So it's like a big work.
And we should not be seen by our problems. We should be seen by our goals, what we long for I think, and this is what important, because our problems, of course, they caused by some our actions, but we take full responsibility for that, and we try to
change
it.
Yeah, you should understand this, because we are not only victims, and it's like my point of view.
Yeah.
We should take this responsibility. Of course, war, of course, we have these casualties and so on and so forth, but we should.
It is just hard. It is just hard to live in Ukraine and to be a Ukrainian.
Yeah.
And we...
But it's possible.
We need to accept.
I mean,
yeah, it is possible, because I live my fruitful life. Sorry. I cannot say that, like, I am a young person, happy every day. Of course, I watch our news and I see how awfully damaged everything is. But I do not, like, put my hands down. My role is to rebuild. My role is to put any effort to make victory closer.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a behavior that we need to spotlight. Like, we need to show that our youth is proactive and it, like, we are living our lives. And it's like we're trying to do it as normal as possible. Right now, I am preparing the trip, solidarity trip of Europeans to Ukraine. So 20 young Europeans will come to Ukraine from 1st of July and they will stay here until 7th of July. We have a really, like, comprehensive program. They will visit Kyiv, Irpin, Voronka, Hostomel, Lutsk, Lviv. We want to show them Ukraine and to make them ambassadors of Ukraine. And we had, like, indeed, we have a lot of applications for this trip. But as soon as we got to the admission process, so when we confirmed the applications and we were telling to people that, okay, you can come, the concerns and doubts aroused, like, we honestly responded to all questions that we cannot guarantee you security. Like, this is a country in war. Like, around half of people just rejected their applications. And we needed to go forward with the waitlist because they just do not, like, understand maybe that, yes, indeed, there is a missile attack in Kyiv, etc. But still, you have a bomb shelter, so it's fine. Like, you can survive it. And they do not understand that, like, I don't mean, like, everybody, but still there were some who didn't understand that airports do not work in Ukraine, and they were expecting that they will come to airport in Kyiv and we will pick them up from airport, etc.
They can, and I would like them to be this, like, a bit reckless to, like, try and live this life.
You know, I was watching one guy on TikTok and he came to Lviv and was very frightened because, oh my God, I'm Lviv, here's air alarm and so on. And they, maybe for them it's, like, overestimated because I get used to this. And for me it's, like, normal.
True. We can't blame them.
Yes, of course.
Yes, because I remember when I was first time in a war conflict zone, it was in Israel, when I was just staying, like, from the Israeli side of a fence and seeing the city of Gaza. And like, there was some kind of dirigible that is looking where their missiles are going from there. So this Iron Dome will attack the missiles. So I was standing there and I remember my, like, feelings when, like, Israeli guide was telling that, like, from time to time they are, like, do the rocket shelling, but we just go to the shelter. It's fine, absolutely. But I couldn't understand how it would be fine.
Israel has been in the war for 40 years. Yeah, so it's very interesting. So you mentioned about the people from abroad, and to your mind, who are Ukrainian young people for foreigners and for ourselves?
Mm-hmm. I would say that probably Ukrainian youth or youth abroad is some kind of, maybe, I don't want to say exotic, but still there is something. Like, you know, these TikToks about, like, when Westerns are trying to wear, like, Slavic girls, you know, or haven't you seen such TikToks?
No.
Or maybe,
is it Slavic girls are so exotic?
And or maybe there is a Facebook group. Like, I guess it's called, like, Slavs in Adidas or something like that, when they are just posting the pictures of Ukrainian and Russian comics.
Oh,
you know, like this first.
It's not a very good sign of armor
yes.
And identity.
So they see, like, some maybe differences. I would say that there is a gap between Ukraine and European Jews because...
You mean Eastern Europe or...
I mean Eastern Europe and Western Europe. There is a gap because they had a great history of different kind of exchanges. Basically, like after World War II, Europe was divided as well. So like there was Germany, France, I don't know, Northern region, Sweden, etc. They had their own cultures, they had their own languages, and they didn't have as much in common. But at that point, countries decided that they are going to build like one European family, one peaceful continent, and they started to invest in different kinds of exchanges. And they have this good culture, history of exchanges and people moving around, and youth is getting acquainted into different cultures. They get used to this multicultural environment. And they feel like Europe, like a big, like one European family. And we still have this gap, like from the Eastern Europe because of this Soviet Union division, etc. And we didn't overcome this gap yet. And again, the amount of attention that Ukraine has right now is also can be the part of an instrument how to overcome this gap. By creating such kind of exchanges to Ukraine, like we are doing this trip, or as well, like as much Ukrainians should move to Europe just to see, to get acquainted, to get used to multicultural environment and then come back. So this is the only way to, I don't know, build this bridge to overcome this gap. And we still have a lot of to do in this direction.
What is the main task of Ukrainian young people, like to show, to spread information mm-hmm. about Ukraine abroad?
Mm-hmm. I think that there are a lot of misconceptions about Ukraine, and we as Ukrainian youth must be proud to be Ukrainian and to spread this message of proud Ukrainians abroad. Powerful state with a deep, great culture, and we can just not to go abroad to, I don't know, to feel ourselves maybe closer to Europe, but we must speak confidently that we are the part of this European community. We are honored to be Ukrainians. We love Ukraine, and we don't have this feeling of younger brother or something like that.
Yeah, younger brother. I mean, we are still a part of European community, but I guess we, even though we should realize that we have our own identity, like we are Europe, but we are Ukraine firstly. So have you ever spread the information about Ukraine abroad, and how do you make these steps, Ulyana?
Unfortunately for me, I was abroad, but I was not a part of some delegation or whatever. Like my acquaintances were at supermarket. And that's it.
Give me one coffee, Ukraine, Europe.
Maybe I didn't take it too seriously at the time. And now I can see that I could do more. I could do definitely more. For now, when you said, we are European, but we are Ukrainian, like first, I asked myself, but what do we share already? Like what values already unites us? What do you guys think?
Values?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know, even in Ukrainian, it's very...
I mean, when I talk to any other international person, I would like to say that I am European, not only I am Ukrainian, because when I say I am Ukrainian, I am like separated. Do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
And give me a bit of time. I would like them to know that I already associate myself as a European person. Because when I say I am Ukrainian, they do not like click that she is European. There is no already, this connection is not made yet. And it is not obvious that I am European, I am Ukrainian. It is already like not the same thing, but it is like I'm connecting dots here. But I'm not sure that when I'm going to Spain next week And I'm not sure that my accent will say that I'm European, because when I hear French accent or Norwegian accent, I know that they are Europe, because like it is a secondary thought for me. But is there, from the other side, is this thought appearing?
Yes, I agree. It depends on context, because I already mentioned about identity. So we are Ukrainians. We are not like Europe.
But we are.
In terms of what we are.
And therefore, my question.
Yes.
I don't know.
We can just go deeper into that in terms of values of freedom and dignity. Because I think that what we are doing right now in Ukraine and how we behave, etc., is showing that we are maybe even more Europeans than...
In some ways, we are.
Once, like 2 months ago, I was to Brussels with another trip that, like, when Ukrainian Leadership Academy went to European Union, and we were doing like some public advocacy campaigns, and we needed to receive the permission from the police station. So basically, we went to police in Brussels, and we were talking with a policeman. And the policeman started to criticize the European Union. So he was telling us, trying to convince us that the European Union is bad.
Uh-huh.
He said that they do not like give the permission for our farmers to grow what they want. Mm-hmm. They tell that you need to grow corn. It's a pure dictature. I was like listening to him and to like think like policeman in the capital city in Brussels in front of the police, like in the uniform, telling us, like criticizing the European Union and telling that it is dictator. It means that he like doesn't give a clue what the dictator is.
Yeah.
After like real dictatorship, it wouldn't be possible. Like absolutely.
Even to think that.
Yeah.
Somebody could hear.
So basically, yeah, in some ways, we're probably even more Europeans because we are struggling for the values that they accept as granted.
You know, I think that this narrative is like out of context of high prices in the mm-hmm. European Union. It's a part of Russian propaganda they use in 2014 that you shouldn't go to European Union. And maybe for this reason, I am like so strict, because we are Ukrainians, we are not European Union, we are not Russia, we are Ukrainians. But yeah, I agree with you guys that according to values,
mm-hmm.
we are part of Europe. So, yes. Yeah, convinced myself.
Thank you so much.
The first time you managed to do this.
To convince you.
Yes, yes.
That is an impossible task, just so you know.
Yeah. And I don't know, to conclude our topic about the building of bridges, what do you think, what steps we already done and we should do? And speaking about Ukrainian Leadership Academy, what you already done for this? And what is mm-hmm. the vision of this connection between...
Mm-hmm. Well, we do already a lot as Ukrainian society, because we have never been so mobilized as right now,
mm-hmm.
just to spread the messages of Ukraine and to make the perception of this war from the world like the same as we have here in Ukraine. But like if we are telling about Ukrainian Leadership Academy, we have some projects that were just linked maybe to this vision of building bridges. Like first project was the solidarity visit of Ukrainians to European Union. So we this year, together with 60 students of Ukrainian Leadership Academy, we went to seven countries European. So it was Poland, Germany, Belgium, France, Austria, and Romania. And basically, like young people were meeting other young people. We had in our program, there was parts when we communicate with universities, local youth NGOs, etc., just as a way to build the bridges. And right now, as I already mentioned, we are preparing the trip of Europeans to Ukraine, again, solidarity trip. And we will show them all the Ukrainian youth initiatives that appeared during war and that was like before, to show like how Ukraine like how is it living right now through the war, and what, I don't know, maybe victories, and what, like, what are the things that we are proud about? And indeed, they do have, we do have what to proud about. Like, for instance, was when I was telling about the Ukrainian Leadership Academy to the Europeans, they all have like, you know, big eyes saying like, wow, and I wish we had the same program in our country.
Maybe you are going to open the
maybe
direction abroad.
Yes, maybe, I don't know. So, but yes, still, we have a lot of things that we can be proud of, and we want to show that. Like, from my perception, the best practice for building bridges is youth exchanges and international education, etc. Because basically, this was one of the instruments that even Western Europe took as one of the main instruments after the Second World War. There were a lot of initiatives for exchanging youth from around the world just to overcome these gaps and to build the European society. So as well, we missed a lot, but we have the opportunity to overcome this gap during our generation as well right now.
Yeah, great. And thank you for your job. Mm-hmm. Ulana, maybe you can add something.
I couldn't tell more, but I just would like to end on a notion that war did not make us pitiful, but indeed increased a lot of courage in youth. And particularly in me, I can see that I, as a part of a proactive community, became a much more fuller, like not an identity, but an individual. And I hope that this information will get the spotlight that we are strong and that we deserve the support that we sometimes ask for, and that it is sometimes shouldn't be questioned that are we deserving or not. It will be just fair to listen to us and try to understand. And of course, we do it both sides, that we are going to listen to and to adjust, and we are a very adaptive nation. So just on that it takes courage to respond to your values. Yeah, I would say so. And this relates not only to us, but for all of us.
Yeah, I totally agree. And moreover, we have lots of great things besides war. But yeah, it's the other conditions we live in. And we still have a great people, great young people, and historical and Ukrainian people. I appeal to you, you should spread this, all this fact, and especially in terms of Russian propaganda they had been spreading by centuries. And so thank you for your attention, and thank you for this episode. Guys, if you would like to learn Ukrainian language, you can
listen
to our podcast, because mostly all episodes, they are in Ukrainian language. But I don't know, we will have one
more.
We'll have one more in English. So, but if you are super interested and you like our voices, you can ask, and maybe we will think about this and we'll create something to our foreign audience. But yeah, I'm really glad that we were talking about this.
We will be very grateful to see your curiosity in the comment section.
Yes, you can reply on Spotify. We will leave a question.
An answer to your question, if there will be. That's it. It's so exhausting. You should know. It was so exhausting to talk in English, but we are
and communicate with Ulan. That's an interesting topic about language as a tool to build this bridge. And it turned out to be English language because of historical conditions. So, yeah.
Thank you, Euro.
Yeah, thank you, Ukrainian Leadership Academy, for this episode and for this special season and for your job.
And also, thank you. Thanks. And shout out to Ukrainian Danish Youth House who gave us
already built the off bridges.
Yeah.
In Kyiv. you.
It is a good showcase of building bridges, actually.
Yes, yes.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.